Coming up in this episode of the Rugby Round on Talks with the Network 1012 Sports Round podcast, we had a special guest. He'll be so excited I called him special. Timo Follenkemba, national team player, talking about the game against Lithuania and, you know, what's in and around German rugby at the moment, just a few tidbits. And then I chat with Keba as well, and it was quite fun to have a guest. Timo chatted some boxing with us, a little bit of football as well. Keba ranted on about Manchester United, but we've got to do more with Keba. Some stuff that we needed to chat about. We really enjoyed having Timo on the pod with us, and I hope you all enjoy listening to it because it was a great conversation. He really got stuck in. Obviously, the banter was flowing. Please. Be sure to check out the GoFundMe page. We're still trying to raise money for this pod and so we can do more work, get some more guests and devote more time and turn this from a hobby to something a bit more stable. But I really hope you enjoy listening to this. And, you know, side note as well, as we're heading towards, you know, it's November now and heading towards the winter, you know, and sickness and illnesses are flying around. And take care of yourselves, look after yourselves, immunize yourself against whatever, colds, flu, COVID if you have to, you know, make the right choices, watch who you hang around with, if you know anybody's not feeling particularly well, rather not risk it, but, you know, all goes down, look after yourselves. And I really hope you enjoy listening to us chat about some things, because we certainly had a lot of fun. Enjoy. Welcome. This is going to be interesting. This is a twofold podcast. It's a Network 1012 and a Rugby Run Unfold pod rolled into one, because I have these two fine gentlemen. One is the incomparable Kebamoto Achai, who's anti-ANC and the fact that there's no electricity. Petrol is very expensive in South Africa, as it is in
lockdowns
Germany.
For days. Lockdowns. Corruption. Hashtag Futsak ANC.
And the fact that Kaiser Chiefs don't win games.
Orlando Pirates, but who's
sorry,
counting?
Orlando Pirates, yes. Don't win games.
Man United is ass.
And, and the storm is just as bad. And, you know, it all works. And then on the other side, my teammate is back. We had a really long conversation a couple of months ago on the Rugby Run Unfold spot. And he's back in the national team for Germany because he's such a stand-up guy. You know, he's answered the call. Timo Follenkemba has answered the call. He's looking younger, even though that shirt is a little tighter around the hip.
Hello, William. Hello, great to be here. Great introduction. Thanks.
I'm so excited for this because I think, you know, in all sports, all the sports we're going to talk about. It's going to be interesting, and I really, really want to get into the teeth of this game against. Who did you guys play against? Lithuania.
Exactly.
I'm going to say it looked very windy and cold there.
It was. Like,
I'm surprised you didn't go in second skins, bro. I would have done it.
actually, Lithuania is one of the Baltic states, which is up north. So we flew there from Frankfurt City to Vilnius, which is the capital, and then just drove like a nice bus trip 2.5 hours southwest to Šilalė or whatever that town's called. I can't really remember. It's not for the German tongue.
Correct. It's the name of that place, guys.
It's not for the German tongue. I can't really pronounce it. But it's actually like we met the German ambassador. He was part of the committee, and he was telling us that actually we had a lucky day and it was not raining and not storming. I was like, if that's not storming here, I can't imagine what it actually looks like if it storms.
If you watch in the background, I was watching the game live in between when my child need to be changed or something. And it's just windy. It was just like,
bro, I tell you, like that. When we played the first half, we played against the wind, and if you wanted to do a clearance kick, I actually taught our kickers like kick it flat as possible because that ball was stuck in the air. It was really like kick it up. It was like even coming back to you, and it was like, no, man. And they did like two or three 50-22 kicks. Yeah. Like I never had that much 50-22 kicks yet. Yeah. And every kick they made was like perfectly into the corner. I was like, yeah, that's gonna be a long first half.
We had a goal line dropout in our game against Mainz a couple of weeks ago. We never had it before, and nobody knew what to do. It was like
even the ref don't know what to do.
They all stand around because with the 50-22, they first go, was it? Then they check, were you in your half? And then it's like, if your foot is on the line, is that in your half? No, bro. The ball bounced it. That's just all
I agree.
But I'm so excited to have you both here.
Who won? Who won? Who won? Sorry, I forgot. Who else?
Germany won.
Okay, score? Okay.
46-16.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So the first 10 minutes, we got like two or three penalties, and they had heads up, tails up, and then we just outsmarted them in the end.
Is this a World Cup qualifier? Sorry.
No. It's just a European trophy. So it's like second tier championship.
What Germany is trying to do is they're now in the second tier. So there would be six nations, which would be called Six Nations A. And then European.
They changed it again. So it's the Six Nations, it's the Rugby Championship, and it's the Rugby Trophy.
Okay, I see.
And the unfortunate thing is there's no promotion relegation between for the Six Nations teams all of a sudden, but there is for everybody else beneath you.
Exactly.
You know, makes a whole lot of sense. Because
Georgia is actually complaining against that. Because they don't have a chance to play in the top level that possibly can.
So and replace it. Interesting you've said that. Because I was just about to say that. If you were Georgia, and you've played against Georgia, I fortunately have never had the opportunity. Fortunately or unfortunately, you can look at it both ways. Fortunately, because those are some big boys, eh?
Those are some hard men, huh? Those are some hard men. I know a Georgian. I'll tell you a story now about how I know the Georgian. But anyway,
well, I mean, if you come here, there's a whole lot of Georgians who play as well.
Hmm.
So,
and they're hard boys, eh? They play hard. It's faith. I love it. But you've played against Georgia. If you were a Georgian national player, if you were part of the squad, would you not feel like, what the fuck am I doing here? I'm being a bit hard done by. I should be in the top level of European rugby. Or
I think it's comparable to what we had with HAK a lot of days, because we played in the German Bundesliga, and like we had no really competition in the Bundesliga with our team, with all the Africans and basically all the national players. And then we get to the bigger stage, which was the Continental Shield, which led us to the Challenge Cup. And all of a sudden, you get challenged on a whole another level. And that what really made us perform as a national side. And I think that's the same with the Georgian side. They play in the international level with, I don't know, like Spain is doing a good job, Portugal is doing a good job. But if you play against Germany or the Netherlands or whatever, it doesn't help you. And I think they need to play more high standard levels up the standard for the next World Cup or whatever.
It's because I mean, I think where you've hit the nail on the head, and when we've talked about this before, when we qualified for the Challenge Cup, I always look back and I think like, yeah, you know, the step up is going to be two steps really, because either way for HRK, like, and it wasn't fun. There was times when HRK would go and play teams like a cricket score, 145-0, 145-2, 10-3, you know, shit like that. And when you get to the final, you kill the team in the final, in the Bundesliga final. You know, it's still the step up is massive. You know, whereas now, what I'm loving now, and it's nice to see, it was a very young team on Saturday that played.
I'm the third oldest. Can you imagine?
Who's the oldest?
Alexander Biskupek, our hooker.
How old is he?
He's born 88, I think, or 87.
Oh, wow. And he's younger than me. So 32.
32, 33. So, you know, you, Sammy, and Yuen, you have the most caps, I'm guessing, that part of that group, right? And it's like, wow, you know, it's good to see. What was nice to see was, like, you guys kept it together, because I thought Lithuania in the first 20 minutes squandered so many scoring opportunities.
They were storming, yeah.
Their outside backs are quick as shit, man. I was like, jeepers, this is going to be a game. And then experience takes over. Flowing the game, you know, playing the game at our tempo takes over. How did you feel, sort of, I suppose you said the first 20 minutes was like, touch and go. But how did you feel once you started getting points on the board? Did you start getting more confident? Was there a bit more of a belief as the time went on?
I was actually quite confident the whole time. Like, I knew, like, I saw where we struggled, and there was basically the debutants in the back line. So they didn't really, there was, normally make excuses, but the sun was actually also very low. So you couldn't really see what's coming in front of you, because the sun was just in your face the whole time. And if these guys are quick and just doing some move, you didn't even see the ball properly. So we talked about it. Like, the experienced guys said, listen, keep your spacing, trust the system, work inside out, and they will be fine. And as soon as we did that, and that comes with experience, and obviously these guys with the first cap were nervous, they a bit overhyped, didn't want to make a mistake, which actually led to mistakes.
Right.
And as soon as we dropped that, and I don't know, Mick Buric, I don't know if you heard about him, is a lock also from SCN. Yeah. Young guy, 20, 21 years old. Mm. Like, even after two or three penalties, they managed to kick over. He looked at my face and he said, like, I saw that you had no issues, and no, there was no panic in your face. So that's why I didn't panic.
Right.
And I was like, that's actually a great thing to get told, because that proves a bit, like, there was no need for nervousness.
Right. Because I think one thing, and I think that was kind of what happened after, you know, we won't go into the whole situation. All the shit went down. Fuck it. The experience level of the team is very different.
Mm.
That was in the what is now, what, rugby championship, you're saying? Or 1A, what we call in the 1A competition.
Yeah, it's the European Rugby Championship.
Right. The experience level of the guys is very different. And then, unfortunately, they get relegated and everything starts afresh. And you've got to change things out. And, I mean, you've got to have that balance of young guys. You've got to have that with experience. And I think, you know, it's as important to have, you know, you, Sammy, and Yuen around, being around there, played a little higher. Now they're helping, going, look, just relax, keep it together, yada, yada, yada. Because, you know, as a young player, we've all been young players. I mean, Kepa is a manic five-a-side young player. Five-a-side football, and we've all been there. We, you know, but experience counts, and what that is, you have to have your first game. You can't get away from it, and I think we held our own. It was so nice to see after a while. Okay, passes are sticking, trying to move the game on. We're trying to play here, and the second half, obviously, I think we just overpowered them. I mean, you know, set piece looked good, defense looked good. I mean, it all in all, it's a positive. You know, positive game. Where do you, when is the next game? Who do we have next?
We play in 2 weeks' time in Poland, in Danzig. I don't know.
Yeah, they don't want you to play in Germany, do they?
No, I think, yeah. We had the first test was in Czech Republic.
Yeah.
So we drove like that Odyssey to Prague for like 14-hour drive or whatever. Oh. Then the next one was now Lithuania, then it's Poland. But I don't know, maybe Keba can relate, but you need to have, like, you don't need to panic. You just keep your stuff together and it comes. If you know you have quality players, that will come. You know, and you feel it.
The older you get, it's something I learned the older I get, taking part in sports, even though it's not at a high standard, cricket or soccer. You learn to think. What I learned in five-a-side soccer, don't waste your energy. Exactly. Know when to run, know when to position. So it's something that you learn. You know which rock to hit, which mall to hit, where, what to do, when to do the running. Yeah, and I definitely agree, but from a football point of view.
No, but it's I think it's exactly like that. You cannot like if you're young, obviously you're over eager and want to prove make a point, show that you are like made it for a reason to the team or to the selection. But like for me, like I'm 30 now. Like I'm like I had some rugbys and I hit some rucks and I did some running and I know like
I mean I wouldn't really call what you did hitting rucks. You were on your back. Getting your knee touched a little. No, I'm kidding.
Shots have been fired.
I'm playing. I'm gonna get into trouble.
How many caps do you have?
Yo!
Minus zero.
Oh!
How many German championships do you win yet?
Oh!
Were you in the biggest musical in the world ever?
This is what you guys would used to do as teammates. Just rip each other.
No, you know what? I would come to training and they just want me to sing all the time.
Right? hey,
everyone has their qualities, Will.
But the first thing in training is like, oh, can you sing? Oh, can you sing this? I'm like, guys, I'm trying to train here. Like, you know.
Which club did you guys play together?
We didn't actually play in the same club. We were in the same. So Timo, it was, well, yeah, the club was HRK, which is actually the Hooded Club, and the extension is the extension. You know, with Ruda being rowing, right? And the extension they have a rugby club attached to it.
And
Timo was part of that, but Timo's been at 85 clubs in Germany. Where have you been, bro? You've been everywhere.
I'm not answering this question now.
So he's been to a few, clubs. When I got there, Timo was a lot more of a lock.
They want to change me. I was playing actually eight, and because Jared as a starter eight, they want me as a replacement lock for Julio they want me and Poppy to play in the locks. Why I had to gain weight. Sorry.
That must have been fun though. I mean, when you think about it,
gaining
did you
weight
enjoy that?
Slow.
I mean, when you came on for Julio, did you enjoy playing with Poppy? Because,
yeah, of course, like I learned a lot of stuff. Like even like Julio, the diesel tank, like he's like going hard. If he goes hard. Mm-hmm. And playing next to him, and then see what he does, and then playing Poppy, like with Poppy, he was actually a bit of a different style. It was brilliant, and even with Eric, like you have all different styles of playing,
right?
It helps you like to get to know the game better, I think.
Where do you know it's interesting? So talking about Germans and German players, and so our boy Anton Zegner is now literally on track for the All Blacks.
I just saw that now.
You saw this, right? And he I mean, and to his I guess his argument is correct. He feels that the national team is not at the standard, obviously, of the All Blacks for him to play for Germany right now.
That's a big hypothesis you're making up here.
But he said it. He said it. These are his words, not mine. But, you know, okay, you can't compare the two countries in terms of rugby acumen. But it would have been so interesting to see him here.
Why?
Why? Because his growth point is very different now, isn't it? He went to New Zealand as a young guy. I think he was 16, 17, 18, somewhere around there. And you obviously adapt to the way. So you, for example, if you had gone to New Zealand or Australia or South Africa, somewhere like that, your game would have adapted to what is around you.
Of course.
Not saying you're a bad player. Don't get me wrong. I love you and I love watching you play. Your game is gonna adapt to what's going on around you, and that's what's happened for him. You know, and all kudos to him. He's making it happen. But do you feel like, hey, this is somebody we've lost for the future, or do you feel like, well, you know what, good riddance. We've got kids here that we're gonna build and develop.
I think we shouldn't look too much to him, because he, like, if you, like, for him personally, individually, I think that's the best thing you could do. Just stay there, get a professional set up, play the best rugby possible, learn, get the greatest experience you can, make it to the World Cup. Like we tried, that was our dream. Like we tried it, and we didn't, like, we come that close, 80 minutes, and we didn't make it. And he has the opportunity to make it. So all luck to him. Go. Don't get injured. Play the best rugby you can play. Yeah. And if he, in I think, if you want to compare German national side, like, which represents the German Bundesliga, the German standard,
yeah.
I think we cannot always look at different people and say, like, even Julius Nostadt now playing in the top 14 with Castre. Like, yeah. he's not coming to the German national side for whatever reason. But does it really matter? Yeah. Like, why do we need, like, I always like excusing ourselves, like, oh, yeah, but with Eric, we would have been in the top league, or with Julius. That, what if and whatever, like, it doesn't really matter. Like, we have Jörn there, we have Sammy coming back, a lot of young guns. Like, we need to, like, actually give them the experience to progress, to become the next better person. Like even Anton does in New Zealand. Now we have to do it with the German guys.
Right.
But, like, obviously the progress in New Zealand will be much bigger than in Germany, but that should be our goal. And I think that counts for every sport. Like, we need to have the next Toni Kroos or Sebastian Schweinsteiger or whatever to play in a German national side in football. And that's what we need also in rugby and in whatever.
Look, I think we're on our way. I mean, there's lots of good players around. And as I always say, when you look at the Bundesliga gets better every year. Coaches get better, players get better, the competition gets better. It's only a matter of time before it is at the standard where it is pro, and it's going to take time. It's going to take time. And as you said, you know, as we talked about before, we who are coaches at the provincial level are trying to create that system for the players that are coming through, that when they get there, that platform is built for them. So, you know, let's see. But you're talking about, interesting that you mentioned Bastian Schweinsteiger and Toni Kroos. And are you by any, who do you support a football team?
Yes, I do.
Who?
Do you know Schalke 04? They're second league now.
The second league, Schalke 04. You see, look at this one. He's like, no, he only knows Bayern Munich because they lost 5-0 the other day.
Bundesliga B. They call it Bundesliga B. I know my German football, man. Listen, I feel attacked.
Isn't it second Bundesliga? Second Bundesliga?
Yeah,
second
I know. I've got German. Timo, this man is forgetting to tell you that I play five-a-side with Germans or South Africans. Germans, like proper, but born in South Africa.
Born in South Africa. So that makes sense.
When they speak German, you can tell that's a South African accent. It's like, that's a South African accent. Yeah, Chana, Sprachen, which is Schweigen Deutsch.
Can I tell you a funny story? He's got these mates. So he's very upset about you're not really that upset about the election results, the current, because it was a municipal election, a local election in South Africa this weekend on Monday. And, you know, the ANC did not have their majority like that. They got 47%. They didn't get the 50.
45.
They're 45%.
45, yeah.
And he was really upset that he went to the German pub somewhere near his house, and he thought he was drinking a Weizen. Now, Timo, that thing looked like piss. It did not look like
piss. And it tasted worse.
And you see, this is what happens when you hang out with fake German people who are South African. Stop it. Stop that. You need to come and visit us here. We will take you Timo will take you to the real thing. You'll find. Yes. Don't worry.
Some good old German culinarities.
You know, uh-huh. and you'll have proper schnitzel, Starker.
Yes.
Actually, that tells me that you are not really German, Will, because schnitzel is actually Austrian.
Okay, but shut up. Right? But there you go. I'm refusing to let go of my heritage, even though I've been here almost 9 years. I'm refusing. I'm holding on.
No. I just ordered gentlemen. Gentlemen, all I want to know is who can take me to the best Eisbein spot in Germany? Because Eisbein, don't get between me and Eisbein. And that sauerkraut. Oh, my God. Oh, Eisbein.
I think that's a very, very good place in Frankfurt.
It's a good place to Frankfurt.
It's called
I love my Eisbein.
The Gemaltes Haus. I think that's the name. German traditional food at its best. Ask Sammy. Doesn't do the pork stuff,
but ask Sammy because he knows.
Yeah, every time I'm in Frankfurt, I will go with him to that place, and then even though he doesn't eat the pork stuff, and he obviously have some, I don't know, beef or chickens.
Yeah.
And then we go afterward for the Mistbällchen. The Mistbällchen is like a liquor. It's like a schnapps with a little fruit in it. And it's.
Oof. Yeah, but trust me.
Last time we had 42 of them shots.
I'll send you to Timo when you come here. I will take you to all the wrong places. I live in the Pfalz. They do everything very differently.
Oh, that's also nice.
Yeah.
So actually, there is not really a German thing because we have so many different
influences.
Provinces. But
here where I live in Ludwigshafen, you know, there's a very traditional German. When you come, you got to come visit Timo because this guy he gives you a schnitzel that's the size of the plate, right? And then the salad. And then I'm getting off topic here, but that's let's not talk about food because people will think we're doing a food.
Nutrition is a very, very big part of sport, isn't it?
Yeah, considering you telling me about the fact that I can barely fit into my jersey.
That Italian sizes mess with me.
The macron is crazy.
It's so small. Like I normally have, like I'm an extra large guy. Like when I have like my stuff normally in the shops, my casual wear, it's extra large. And I knew that Macron stuff is a bit tight. So they asked me, like, what sizes do you want? It's like, I'll go for double XL, maybe 3XL, depending how tight it is. And they give me that double XL, like, playing jersey. And it's tight, my man, I tell you that.
Is it tight like Kepa's shirt right now? Because his guns are
showing. Guns. Guns. More so like toothpicks.
So staying on rugby. What did you guys make of well, a few things happened, didn't they?
Yes,
The USA got absolutely manhandled.
Hammered, yeah.
By the All Blacks. And I don't think we should go into that too much.
No, I don't want to. It was disappointing. It kind of sucked. Yeah, it really did.
It was not great. But then Wales got trounced the other day. And I thought...
Yeah.
Okay, New Zealand are, I say this with a bated tongue and I'm going to hold it back, but I do, you know, the way they play rugby, they're on par with South Africa as in the best teams in the world, but the way that they play.
Yes,
the way they move the ball, the expectation
they destroy
that because you're coming up north, you're going to slow the game down, you're going to play percentage rugby, la, 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 la. They did not do that. They ran the shit out of that ball.
Yes.
They ran Wales off their feet. What did you get to watch the game? What did you make of it? And how are you looking ahead to this week? Actually,
it's now a full round of fixtures. The All Blacks are playing a second team against Italy. Look, I was surprised. I thought the All Blacks were going to win. I looked at the starting lineups and I thought, okay, All Blacks by 15. Then again, remember. 15. I said on Super Brew, I said they're going to win by 15. Something said they will be in a better space than Wales.
Yeah.
Just looking at, I believed that if Wales had a proper run on 15, it would have been closer, but the All Blacks would have won. So I said by 2 tries or more. But then what we've forgotten is that this pandemic has knocked world rugby off its rhythm. Like, remember, certain Southern Hemisphere teams have not played Northern Hemisphere teams since the World Cup, right, at international level. So we didn't know what to expect. Maybe the All Blacks' intensity would be greater than Wales, or maybe Wales being exposed to Six Nations and having played more test matches would have been better. So it came as a shock. It came as a shock to see Wales get thumped the way they do. I know that the referee came under a lot of criticism for a lot of decisions that he seemed. Look, I was watching this game at a pub, so you can't hear the audio. You don't hear what's happened, but I was invested. I was invested in the game. So you don't hear anybody complaining, saying, no, that was a poor referee. It's only when you watch it in hindsight where they point out, okay, there's a penalty that should have gone to Wales, or there's a scrum that should have gone to Wales. So it's like, But at the end of the day, you got beaten by 38 points. That was a thumping. So that result took me by surprise, but I think it's going to be a lot harder for the Springboks against Wales this week.
What are you thinking, Timo?
I've actually not much to add. I think it's pretty much what I would have said. I think it's always easy to make find excuse of the referees' decisions, because obviously that's the easiest one to target.
Yes.
But if you lose by that much points, it's not the referees' thing. Obviously, he managed to, or some referees ref in a different way than others. But they guys are professional. They need to adapt, or they know how to adapt. And you cannot tell me that this is the only reason why they get like that much points. So
yeah,
no, that's not the referee's fault.
That's just getting your ass whipped, as far as I'm concerned. Because
of course,
yes,
because I struggle with this whole thing. And you know, Kebo and I come from a country where blaming the ref is culture.
Yeah, okay.
We come from a football country,
you guys come from a football country where you come from a football country where we have to debate with the referee as to why that's incorrect. I'm trying to get through to my players. Like, just can I speak, and then you can, you know, then you can talk, and you know, not talk through me. But this is you just adapt, and that's what it is. You adapt to the situation. So a bunch of professionals cannot constantly be blaming the referees. And yes. And as was said by Andre Watson this last week, the former Test referees also got to take it on the chin, because guys are going to complain. There are big decisions being made, but at the end of the day, you as a professional, you have to just deal. I'm sorry. If he makes the wrong call, he makes the wrong call. That's human error. We all make mistakes. You know, every ruck you hit is not going to be perfect. Every pass that you pass is not going to be perfect. And they got beaten. They got
soundly beat. And the All Blacks, I noticed a lot of their tries came from Wales' mistakes. Intercept passes, poor kicks. Exactly. And that's the thing. The All Blacks, people tend to think the All Blacks come there and just dominate position. No, they just wait for you to mess up. And then that counterattack, you don't know what hit you. But you'll see Sivir Rees passing it to Savia, who gives it to Owane, who gives it to Savia, and then he gives it to Rees, and then they've scored the best try of the year. That try is amazing. Yeah, I can't get over it. that try. No.
But it's the same with that, that winger. He scored same try. No. He scored the try exactly the same against the USA and Wales. So there was a clearance kick from
Jordan?
Both teams.
Was that Jordan?
I think so.
Will Jordan, yes.
And he stepped one guy, just made a chip kick in the 22, were quicker, gathered the ball and scored. Like, exactly, it was like copy-paste. And you cannot tell me that you cannot... Like, you need to be aware of that. Like, if you're a professional, high professional performance team, you know that these guys are dangerous and can do that to you. And I know because of the preparation we did for the World Cup qualifications and the rapid charge and all that stuff. Like, I know if we have like guys or standout players, like, where do you look for? What's their strength and their weaknesses? Right. And obviously, because they have much bigger stuff than we had, they knew what's coming. They didn't perform well.
And Timo, I think you've hit the nail on the head. I think so much we forget. Like, everybody focuses on the big picture a lot of the time, which is great. You got to see the picture. But it's that small thing, like how many, you know, if he's got certain amount of space, is he gonna step off his left? Is he gonna step off his right? Is he gonna ride the contact to make the offload? You know, small little things that you counter. Sometimes you're trying to get rid of one player in terms of what their attacking ability is gonna be as a defender, because that's what you focus on. And I think so much of it, especially at the top level. You can winning and losing a game is your 5-0 or 3-0 because of defenses, right? How many games are lost 21-25, you know, type things, short, small margin games because of those things that we, the simple layman on the outside, forget to focus on. And then it's social media is, you know, one of the worst things, but that's, we're all on it and we're all active participants of it. And you know what? Everybody's like, no.
no, referee here, here, here. And this is what the law states. And this is, I'm like, bro, were you on the field, chum? Like, I had an argument with somebody on Twitter, I think it was, or Facebook, when Elton Junchies went for the drop goal. So, oh, why did Elton go for the drop goal? He still had advantage. And it's like, well, you know, either way, he's going to get the ball back. So,
yes.
Oh, I could have done this and set up for the line.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, you could have done this. Now you're dealing in what if. Elton's situation was, I have the space to kick the fucking ball. I'm going to kick it.
And if I get it over, the Springboks lead.
You know, either way, I'm going to lead. Because if it misses, oh, we're coming back for the penalty. So
what happened to common sense?
Okay. Listen, that's a long conversation. What happened to common sense?
Yeah.
And that part of it is, for me, is really difficult to get through. I just felt they were outplayed. And you know, this week, looking ahead to this week, the Springboks have made some changes. Are you happy? Are you happy with Damien Willems at fullback? Because you were not. We have a group. Timo, we have a group. The two of us and another friend from school, and we debate sport 24/7. We debate legal sport. We debate everything. And one of the things that's come up, yeah, man, we, you know, right now the American football player in the car crash, that's a big thing. You know, he's 22. The poor girl is 23 that has died in an accident. But the thing is, the team has come out for this week. I haven't seen the Wales team, and I'm trying to find the Springbok team for this week.
But I saw it's pretty much the same team that started against the All Blacks. Okay. I'm happy with that team. Look, I'm not going to get into sensationalism. yeah, but look. First and foremost, I still believe we're going to beat Wales. I don't care what anybody says. I see what the logic from our manager is. Keep the momentum going from the games in New Zealand. Remember, you haven't played for about a month now. Wales will have some kind of rhythm because they played. So rather be safe. I know why he's being conservative. And remember, David Willemser did play in Australia and New Zealand. So keep it safe and maybe try things against Scotland or something.
Here it is in front of me. Oxenchair.
Yeah.
Mbunambi, Nyokani, Etzebeth.
That started against the All Blacks. Yeah.
Diogo Kolisi Smith from Ulin.
Yeah.
Janchis, which is nice. Yeah. I'm happy that Herschel is getting a start, I think.
Yes.
And then we know why. I mean, he probably wouldn't.
Yeah. Exactly.
He's injured. Pollard, Mapimpi, De Allender, Amkriel, Willemse, Marks, Kitsoff, Koch, Mostert, Wiese, Reinach, Janji, Steyn. So it's generally, it's pretty much the same team.
Pretty much the same team. And the guys who are stepping in are the ones who've been playing.
Who've been playing.
So I know South Africans love to complain. They're like, no, what a game to put Fassi on. Are you aware that Wales will kick on him the whole damn afternoon? Because that's a strength of Wales. And it doesn't change the fact that Fassi's only played one test match in his career. And in the Millennium Stadium, they will pressurize him. They will kick on him, no matter how big he is and how comfortable he is under the high ball. So I see why safety first, more than anything.
Okay.
Is he on the bench or no?
Fassi's not on the bench. He's not on the bench at all.
I still think people are going to play against Scotland. I think that Scotland game, they are going to give a few people a run, I think.
So, what's your prediction?
Well, I just say by Springboks, by a try, by a score, by one score margin.
Really? And Wales are very underhanded.
I think Wales' players are going to... I think I heard correctly, but maybe I was wrong. But I think a lot of their players were released late. Okay. So they couldn't play for the All Blacks. So they're going to be there and COVID protocol. So I think they're going to be there for this weekend. But remember, a lot of these guys are coming in cold as well. So, okay. you know, that's a factor. Okay. I still think 10 or less. 10 or less.
10 or less.
Yeah.
Timo, your prediction.
No, great call. Actually, I actually wanted to say 10 points difference.
Yeah.
You two are going 10 or less. I'm going to be that guy. I'm gonna be that guy. I'm gonna go 15 or more.
15 or more.
And maybe I'm just being that guy. I just feel like continuity is a strength. I feel like, yeah, I do agree with you. Maybe some guys have been released later. They do still seem very underhanded to me. They're not. Okay. It's not exactly okay. Like they're not going to play a professional team, and it's not a second team.
Yeah, that's true.
Those are guys
that's
that
true.
Are in their squad. And I feel like, I just feel like the Springboks right now. I'm, and you know this whole thing of the world number one and all. I don't buy into that.
No, crap. I don't care. I don't care.
I just feel like they. If depending on how you see the, and this is what it is, why I'm saying 15 or less is 15 or more. Why I'm feeling is that is if we get out and we score earlier and we put the pressure on.
Yes. Right? Make them chase.
Make them chase the game. Then I feel like, all right, this is where we should be. Whereas what you guys are coming from is if Wales put on the pressure, then it's going to be 10 or less.
Yeah.
But they have to.
They have no choice.
But the point of the matter is, I'm sorry, the Springboks cannot lose on Saturday. There's no way that a team gets beaten 58 or 54-16 and then you go lose to them. I'm sorry. I don't think I'll stand for that.
Stranger things have happened.
But wait, they need to prove a point. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, they will. And you prove it against the World Cup holders.
We need to let go of that thing until we go back to the World Cup next year. Or in 2020. Like, I love this. There's a thing on Instagram. Dude is
live
like
with the days, like yeah, day days. 460 of
bro,
1,000 of being a world champion.
Jared Wright, we've asked him. His name is Jared Wright, Timo. We sent him a message. We're like, Bruce, stop. Stop. No, stop.
Actually, it's funny. Actually, it's so funny.
Nah, it's annoying. Now it's annoying. No, it's...
Like, he's so dramatic.
Yeah, but you know what the problem is? Like we always say about rugby players, you know, humble, like we need to all that value stuff and fair play and thing. And obviously, if you go in a bit, I don't want to say cocky, but it comes over as a bit cocky, like of day 451 of 1,000 being a world champion. And if you lose or something happens, you know, and maybe they get a hiding and all of a sudden, what is about day 500 of being a
Australia, exactly. When Australia beat us twice.
That was the other thing. You've hit the nail on the head. Like, we went to Australia. We played Australia. We lost both times. We lost to Australia twice.
That was embarrassing. And that was embarrassing. Those defeats were embarrassing.
That shit, like, I couldn't, like, I felt bad, man. Because I was one of those who was like, Australian rugby is in the fucking shit. It doesn't look good.
And then they slap us 2 weeks in a row.
Dave Rennie has done some stuff with that squad. And you know, like in the beginning, the guys were at a dinner. A couple of Oaks had a few too many drinks. And he was like, no, bye, get out. This is not the culture we want. Get the fuck out. And I love that because he's standing. You could be a star. And I love that. And I wish more coaches had the balls to do that. Be like, you're not bigger than we are, man. Get out. That's it. Teams would do that.
I'm actually doing my World Rugby Level 3 at the moment in Amsterdam.
How are you doing World Rugby Level 3?
Because I'm the man, my man.
Who nominated you? Who nominated you, first of all?
William, stop being a hater, man.
Hey, that's honestly. Great. Maybe if you listen to me, you can learn something. So what I'm going to say now, jokes aside... the World Rugby Level 3 course, like the first meeting we had now, it's a lot about culture and philosophies. Like, what kind of culture you want to create? And they obviously take the All Blacks for example, because they have that 15 principles of being an All Black or whatever. And I think, like, one of the things, no egos. And if you think through that, it makes so much sense in a selection squad, because all of a sudden, like when you play club rugby on a high performance level, but obviously get paid and that's all your job and stuff, and you're like a standout player, obviously it does something to you. Like if you like the Lionel Messi of Barcelona, or you know, you're the standard player. And all of a sudden you come to the national side where it's not just you and a lot of egos. Yeah, and all of a sudden, like that egos, they need to come together. And you see that with a lot of football teams, especially. Like, I think Messi never won a World Cup title with Argentina. And they're so much brilliant, talented player. And because they don't get that, like, they don't get him under the circumstances of that team like they had with the national side. They don't have, like, a standard player in the German national side, but they work as a group. Because like they have no egos, obviously they have, but they're not that stand-up player who's like stealing the show.
Except their coach who rubs his shoulder. But congrats! I really didn't know you were doing World Rugby Level 3. That's fucking amazing.
I have to, because the German Association doesn't provide an A-level course, so that's why I need to do my World Rugby Level 3.
I'm still trying to do my B. I'm trying to finish off my B license at the moment. Well done, my man. Keep it up. Do it. You know, and all power to you, because you know what I always say. One thing we lack in here is it's qualification aside. Those coaching courses are so important. I've been bugging this one to go and do like a coaching course in football, because in the beginning of these conversations, it was a lot of like, this is wrong and that is wrong. You got to fire the coach. You got it. And I was like, go and do a coaching course and you realize what it is a coach has to go through.
Yeah.
And over time, he's like, oh my gosh, I didn't see that.
I didn't see that.
And it's like, this is, and it's down to managing of people and players. And I always say, like, the coaching courses is not actually about the qualification at the end of the day. It's actually about those weekends, or those meetings, or those,
because you're picking each other's brains.
Right. You know how much, you know, I love going to those things where it's like lunchtime. Oh, hey, why don't we bring your, like we do a lot of these, like, oh, let's see if we can have a test match here and this and that. And then we can talk and how we can help each other out and make each other better. It's not just about making your region better. It's about making your coaches better and giving the players the opportunity to shine, and you as a coach to shine. Fucking, that's amazing, Timo. I really didn't know you were doing World 3, man. That's fucking great. I'm really jealous. Really jealous.
Sorry, deep my down, man.
Deep down. But you'll never have jealous. You'll never have my good looks or my voice, so it's fine. So
that's
I
just fine.
Wish I had Timo's size. If I had Timo's height, I'd be in the NBA, bro. I'd be in the NBA. If I was 6'4", I'd be in the NBA, bro.
Point guard.
You're too small for the NBA?
Of course.
How tall are you?
1.69 meters.
No, man, 96.
Yeah, that's tall. Yeah, that is big.
You're almost 2 meters tall. You're about 6'4", 6'5" in America.
Yeah, that's 6'5". Yeah.
6'5"? Mm-hmm. Dude, that's big. You could have been in the NBA. But...
Have you seen these guys? Like one of my mates playing professional basketball here in Germany, and he's a head taller than I am.
Yeah, but that, and he probably plays down low. You would be a guard. You would be what is a guard? So a guard or a forward.
Yeah.
You'd bring up the ball. You'd be a wing player. I've seen your hands, so you'd probably be
I don't think so. I don't think so.
You know what? You know what the best fun is? If you get put in a group with Timo and you have to do two-man tackling, make sure you go low. Because you'll get hit in the head. I learned that the first time. The first time we had a drill, and it's two of us going, and I was like, okay, I'm going high. And then I just felt this arm hit me, and I was like, wait, man, that's my teammate. Like, and then he's like, oh, wait, let's go low. You go low, I'll go high. Oh, man. I miss those training sessions. I really do. But looking ahead, before we touch on football, Timo, do you want to join us for football talk? Not American football talk. I mean, football isn't soccer.
But it's football. It's not soccer. It's football.
Oh my! You see now.
Because you it's play like now you play the ball with your foot. So it means football. Same with handball. You play the ball with your hand. Just because the Americans make a ball a size of foot, which is an imperial system. It doesn't belong to the metric world. They call it football. You know?
Now you said now this
one close.
Taking out his degree here and like sounding intelligent.
Woo, 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 woo.
No, woo, woo. I don't
thank
know if
you,
I, should have, I'm going to bring Timo on once a month. I think this is good for us. We need somebody to keep us straight and in check.
Yeah, because, hey, Timo, if we were just together, the things we'd be talking now, you'd be like, ha!
Politics and somebody's...
OJ did it.
OJ did it.
I can't let that go. I can't let that go. Timo, I don't care. I can't let that go.
So, I can't let it go. Guess what I have? I have Wales' team.
Yeah, cool, cool.
They're going with Reese. What's his name? Reese Carr. I don't know. Carr? Ryan Ellis, Thomas Francis, Will Rowlands, Adam Beard, Ellis Jenkins, Wainwright, Basham, Williams, Bigger, Josh Adams in the wing, Tompkins in the middle, McNichol, fullback, Davies, Luis Rhys Zimmet. You know, I wish I had like just 3% of Zimmet's speed.
You hey! Hey, hey, yeah, yeah. That man flies on. That man flies. That man flies. So quick. Yeah, no. So from what I can see, the threat will definitely come from Adams, from Zimmet, and Bigger. I'm not very those other guys are very inexperienced.
Depending on whether Bigger will start a fight with the referee or not.
Oh, that's true. Right. And the fact that now Alan Wynne-Jones is a miss. Alan Wynne-Jones is the guy you need against the Springboks. He's very important. So the fact that he's injured.
I forgot he's like 35.
Yeah. Like that man is old. He's the same age.
Okay.
I take that back. He's advanced in his years.
No, at 35, we are advanced in our years.
And I forget that I'm 33.
And you're 33,
you're giving me shit because the physio is treating my calf cramps because I'm getting old and slow. You take it.
Listen, all I'm going to say is, Timo, I like the system also where you sit back in the D as an eight, as you're not in the line, right? Way you guys play. And so Timo's at the back there. I'm thinking, like, please kick the ball on Timo because I need to see something. And you know what happened? I need to see something because now I want to check if my boy's good, bro. I need to see it. And I kick the Timo and I'm thinking, yes, I'm getting what I want. And I wanted to see if he goes from second gear to third gear because before we had issues.
Just one gear, my man. There was just one gear
before and it was
one gear slow.
I see the first 10 meters. I'm like, oh, cool. And he takes it up. And he gets the second gear. And I'm thinking, oh, it's going to happen today. And I was like, oh, Timo, getting old is good for you. You're fast now, my man. It's like, I need to call Mark Kuhlman. I need to tell him, hey, keep that man back there. He had a nice game. Apart from the fact that the physio had to touch him every 30 seconds. But he had a nice game, you know. He was playing very well. I'm very proud of you, bro. You know, I got nothing but love for you, bro. You know that.
Of course.
looking ahead, New Zealand plays Italy. So
they're going to slap them. They're going to slap them. How comfortably 30 points. Dude, Italy is so horrible. Italy needs to be replaced by... I'd rather watch Germany playing Six Nations, bro. Italy, goodness, they suck.
Not right now.
No, I know. You know what I mean. I'd rather have Georgia in the Six Nations.
They got Timo 3 years ago, 4 years ago, Timo? What do you mean? Then with a little bit of practice, but I still think Georgia deserves the opportunity.
Yeah, Georgia. New Zealand is going to shred Italy. Italy is horrible. They are terrible.
It is the
problem is with the All Blacks, they like in every position and all this and the substitutions and everyone is involved in that system. They have so much like individual class and skill on every on every position. So it doesn't really matter to them if you're lock or prop or fullback. Yep. Like they have a brilliant skill set. And compared that to Italy or to Georgia or even Germany, it's like we like our players to be specialized from the start. So our prop needs to be propping.
Thank you. We think like that in South Africa too, Timo.
But
this is the problem because as soon as you break that defense line, and Italy is the same. Like obviously they like the props know how to scrum, the locks know how to line out, and all that stuff. But it comes to broken play, and that is where the All Blacks are dangerous because in the broken play they all can upload and play and do whatever they want. And obviously,
amen.
Yes,
against
yes.
Italy, they won't play with the full, like with the full the best squad they have, but they have the like the development players or the guys who are not getting that much game time.
Exactly.
And
they
will put on a show. They will put on a show just to prove a point, and it's going to be far more than 30 points. Far more.
Can I tell you something? I've got a freelance job where I work for a Swiss company called Sports Radar. So they're into sports tracking and sports betting.
I think Timo would be good for them. You should get us a job there. We would
get us a job. Yeah,
we need that job, bro. We need that money, bro. Yeah, come on now.
And the jobs that I'm covering, the games that I'm covering, is in New Zealand, and I'm watching their local version, NPC.
NPC.
And it's like, no wonder these guys are always good. Super just touch. Watch an NPC. Yay!
Super touch.
Everybody super touch. Knows what.
Touch.
Everybody knows, like what I'm gonna do with you.
So I think I've told you this, Kevo. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, Timo, but you know the Super Rugby franchises and New Zealand rugby as at large largely coach the same similar structure so that when they get into the ABs, that guys don't have to learn anything too new to them, right? And where does that start? That starts in the NPC. It starts from really the infrastructure starts small because the guys then, if you get into the national team, it's simple. But most of the time, from broken play, as you say, bruh, you have locks who are playing like wingers. You have props who can handle the ball. This is what we need. We need more. We need to input more skill sets, especially here where you're so correct. It's like when I'm asking some guys to make a little pop pass, they're like, why would I do that? I would take contact. I'm like, no, because if you do this, and I start explaining to people at taking years, adding years to their playing careers, be it amateur, you know, in our case, amateur, because I'm saying like, dude, if you run into contact every week, 10 weeks of the year, you're going to retire at 33. Okay. Whereas if you take some phases out and you actually breathe and actually give your body a chance and you look after yourself, you can play till you're 37.
Yes.
40, 50, you know? So thank you for saying that, Timo, because I think a lot of people forget that. And a lot of people, don't,
they're not aware of that. And I think especially that what I liked the last episode with you and Sepp, when you talked about the school system and like you had to pick different sports and different half years and stuff.
Yeah.
Because like we the sports system here works completely different. So you go to school basically now, like when I went to school, it's from 8 to 1 in the noon time. That was my school. And after that, you just had your free time. So I was kind of lucky because then I get to pick my sport and I did some basketball, I did swimming, karate, football, rugby, obviously stayed at rugby. But like I had to actually my parents had to sort me out because I'm getting stupid ideas when I was younger and don't get me in trouble. They put me into sports. And obviously nowadays it's like the kids go to 8 in the morning in the school, come back at 4 o'clock and then go to like to rugby training, and then we want to specialize them, you know. And that's so wrong. And I'm like getting a lot of conversations where like coaches come to me and say, yeah, I don't let my forwards kick. I said, why is that? Like in general or in the game situation? No, when we play a game, I don't want my forwards to kick. I said, yeah, but you take so much like fun out of the game for them.
Yeah, exactly.
They take like some coaches say, yeah, we don't play with offloads. Like I don't allow offloads. I was like, why would you do that? And that, yeah, I want them to have normal passes. I was like, huh? Why? Like, why? Like, for example, the Pacific Islanders. Like, why are they so great in the offload game? Like, because they have just a coconut and the beach and just run with the coconut. Right. And right. That's all they need. And they don't look at rugby passes. They don't go like, yeah, but the rugby passes like this. It doesn't really matter if the ball goes on top of someone or from the side or offload. As long as the ball gets into the hand of your supporting player, then that's the whole point.
In our case, a lot of the young black kids who are coming through, they don't have boots. Like, you know, like it's luxury here. Like, I probably should have brought this in with Seb when I spoke to Seb the other day. You play barefoot at some schools until age 14.
I think you mentioned that.
Right. And your feet strength is different. Mm. You can run longer because your feet strength
building muscle. Yeah, obviously
the muscle, right? And I always
I always talk about the offload very differently. I say I want you to get to a point where you can control the ball in your passing, that when you're ready to do the offload, you can control the ball well enough to do the offload. So try, and if it's not working for you, we'll tell you, it's not working for you. It's fine. But some people, some coaches will take away the joy, and then you lose kids, and that's the big fear. And one thing I'm learning here, I'm doing it at Rugby Agi, two schools. One thing I've realized here is just, so they go to school until 4 o'clock, like you say, right? Then from 4 until 4:30, they're going home. 5:30, 5. So let's say they're 4:30 till 5 o'clock. 5:30, they have. When I was in Hamburg, it was athletics training, or now it's rugby training. And I'm like, why are we starting training, first of all, at 5 o'clock? Right? Youth training. They only then have an hour and a half before the seniors come. So we start at 6:30. Some clubs start at 7. Now imagine that child. If they go from 5:30 till 7, for example. That child must not go home and do their homework. That's craziness. That's madness. Whereas if we reach an agreement, somehow getting more, then this is why we need more coaches. If we get kids to go straight from school, so 4 o'clock, you finish at 4 o'clock. Maybe some days you finish at 3:15, whatever. Our school, it was 3:15. And then 3:30, we started training because Manir was standing there ready to coach. And if you were late, you better have a good reason, right? Whereas you can bring these kids on, they can have a two-hour session from 3:30 or 4 till 6, 5:30, 6. They still have enough time to go home, have something to eat, and do their homework. Create a rhythm for these kids.
Yeah, but I think the problem is that we put our expectations of sport into the kids' system, and it doesn't work because we know now as an adult like what we need to do and what's good, and like, or we think we know what's good.
Right.
But like... like I get a lot of kids, like they get like kind of brainwashed. They don't want to do, like, especially I think the European kids, they don't want to go to sport because they think they're missing out if they're not performing in school. So they have like future anxieties because they need to perform, because that's what they got told from the young age. Like, you need to do good in school because there's always the Chinese guy who's better and you need to be better at the, like, the, you know, and that's what they got. And then I get kids, like, they tell me, like, I cannot come to training because I have to learn, I have to do homework and stuff. Right. And I don't know where that sport thing gets me. So I stay too into my academics. And I think, fair enough. And that's a lot of, like, tension I get because that's a difference, because I'm into sports. I like that.
I think we were very fortunate. The school that we went to, Kevin and I, where we had these things that were available to us. And I think there's a disconnect in the way that schools. Who is that?
Someone's getting messages.
Jeepers, is that your Tinder going crazy?
Yes. Sorry, man. Sorry.
Get off Tinder, bro. 5 minutes.
We're talking soccer.
Okay, well, we're gonna get there. And I just feel like, and it's so true. Like I asked the kids to contact me, and I like now it's exam time for a lot of the kids who are gonna be doing the equivalent of matric, Keba, mock matric and so on.
Yeah.
So they're doing their abitur or their 4 abitur or the basachima. So speak to me and tell me what is it, when do you need the time? When do you need this? When do you need that? So that I know what you need from training. If you can only come to training for 1 hour, that 1 hour is better for you because you'll be able to study better. You'll have gotten your energy out. You'll be able to, you know. And it's just, the system is so different. And it's so, I really love the fact that in some countries, schools, sport is part of school and school is part of sport.
And I think it needs to be more. And I think that's like, even if a general, like, a public problem is like diabetes, overweight, like it, and it starts in school. And like, where do you teach these kids how to be active and have a lifestyle, which is like we are talking about now, the green environment, and sort the air out, pollution, CO2 levels, blah, blah, blah. Like, what's with your body? Like, you're also like a nature thing. So you're not artificial. You need also to look after yourself to become a better person.
I'm gonna ask you a loaded question. How many kids do you see on a daily basis? If I walk out of my house and I live near Hansvashplatz, which is like basically the center of my little dorp here in Okazan. How many kids do you see on a daily basis where you think
you're on the street?
Yeah, on the street where you could turn them into a pretty decent rugby player.
Actually, I don't really see much kids because they're all in school, and the most kids I see is in club trainings. But
for me, it's different. So if I walk out, if I'm not working, then I go and I take my daughter for a walk, and they're coming from school. Like if school is getting out, I can see who goes and plays football, who goes and plays table tennis, whatever. I can see because I know, and I think yo, there's a club here. Come and join the club. And I just think sometimes like a lot of it is pressure at home to do this sport or pressure, and that's the thing, because if it was in school, there would be no pressure. And also the parents would have more time. They wouldn't have to worry about, okay, after school, what is this kid going to do now? They'll be in a structured society. Maybe we should run for government, Timo.
Yeah, but even, I don't think so. I think we're not corrupt enough.
The problem is
here that the parents like how you were when you were youngster growing up, you had all that energy week. And all that home. it's been a while for you, William, but But you know, all the hormones, all that energy coming up to you, you want to do stuff and shit. And like the last thing you want to do is go to school and sit there for 3 hours or 4 hours on your ass and look and getting like math equations to figure out. And you want to do something with your body. Like girls are a bit different, but guys, like little boys, they want to do something. And now take that hyper energy and put it into something. And then, as you said, they will learn better. They have the energy of their body. They will focus better and even do better in schools, I reckon.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
I get you.
I agree with you. And I think it's also the same for young women as well.
But women grow up differently.
Absolutely.
Like do you see that in school, like in especially in the Western European countries, like the majority of women in school or universities are increasing. So there are more female people like getting better educational qualifications, and they finish in a lot of like universities where even men don't get to that point because they don't reach that numerus clausus, the right. NC, what you would call right. that. Yeah. Is it the same? So you don't even get to, as a man, the access to that academics, yeah. And then obviously you don't get your education as a girl or a woman would do. So I'm not saying like this is different.
I think also what it boils down to is I know for a fact more young women would join the gym or join a sports club or
definitely
versus their male counterparts. So I think that's what you're aiming at, what you mean, yeah.
Yeah,
it's food for thought because I think,
and then it doesn't really matter if it's rugby or gymnastics or athletics or just the gym or CrossFit or, but as soon as you do like a active lifestyle, if you preach that from young age, I think the world would be a whole different place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I agree.
So no dispute.
you're about to see Keba implode. This is the best part of the pod. Okay, so Keba, first of all, let me make him happy first. Let me make him happy first because the Bulls are playing really well. Okay, they're 6-2. The Chicago Bulls are playing very well.
And the Carolina Hurricanes, unbeaten.
Your Carolina Hurricanes are doing right, and your Baltimore
Ravens
will be because I was surprised that even the Patriots won the other night.
Yeah.
And next week, I think they've got the Chargers. No, that was
last yes. week. Yeah, that was an impressive one.
It was, it was a good win. So you were wanting to fire Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
I still do.
Okay, so it was 5-0. It was 5-0
against Liverpool.
He then redeemed himself with a 1-0 win, thanks to
3-0.
I'm going to just say it was 1-0 because really it was Ronaldo. It was because of the other two goals. And then
against Atalanta on Tuesday night, they draw 2-2 because of Ronaldo.
Ronaldo. If we don't have Ronaldo. Ronaldo's carrying him.
So help us out, Jimin. Just explain to us. You know, Timo's against you. Explain to Timo why you want to get rid of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and who you want. Because you can't get Conte now. He's, you know.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, yeah. Your best bet at getting Zidane is they're going to have to. The Glazer family is pretty much going to have to gut the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in order to get Zidane.
They're the ones who are stealing something. Look, man. Okay. Solskjaer's done his job. He's gotten us as far as he can. But William, I'm sure you've seen it in every sport that you follow. When certain patterns start emerging where it looks like the manager has run out of ideas. And I keep telling, I've been repeating this song for a long time. We're at a point with Manchester United where we now rely on individual brilliance. We're just relying... Okay, I understand Solskjaer's tactics empower players to take the chance to take responsibility and make something happen. But when that tactic gets countered by a good coach, then he'll just sit there and react. He will react instead of be proactive. The other day I was watching Liverpool versus Man City, 2-2 draw at Anfield. The best football game I've seen all season because it was watching two quality teams with two world-class managers. It was a game of chess, but more like checkers, where if somebody was... William, I could sit down and create a tactical analysis of that game because now my new job actually forces me to think and instead of being...
You don't just scream and shout at the television. You just...
That's me. Yeah, I'm not proud of myself. But I looked at it tactically. And I said, you know what? If Ole keeps this up, when he runs into a Klopp and the Guardiola, it could get ugly. Because I could just see these people. It was watching these two brainiacs counter one another and satisfyingly the game ended 2-2 because nobody deserved to lose. And then we played Atalanta 2 weeks ago before Liverpool and Scholes, a former teammate, a legend that won the Champions League with Solskjaer, said, if they do what they did against Atalanta in the game against Liverpool, it will get ugly. And like clockwork. Mo Salah was scoring like Muslims were being kicked out of England, bruh, and he had to save them.
Okay, you don't have to.
I'm sorry. I'm joking. But yeah, he's taken us, it's been 3 years, William, and does it look to you as a Man United fan? Does he look like he... Okay, Champions League is a different company.
I pulled my shares out. I'm putting them back in now. But I agree with you. I don't think they're in the... I don't think they're in the track that we've thought and were hoping they would be in at this point. I do agree with that. My whole thing is right now that, honestly, I think Harry Maguire is the worst defensive player I've ever seen in my life.
I'm getting it. William, thank you. You brought me to my next point. I was like, whoa. And it's something I was talking about with regards to Jock Nienaber and not dropping people who had to be dropped in New Zealand. I don't. I love Jock. Jock's defensive system made the Stormers the best team in the world once. My problem is, why are bad players continuously being rewarded? Because you do realize it demoralizes players who need to have their chance. Your Alex Telles is your... Did you see Bailey on Saturday? I wish you saw Bailey, bro. Bailey was defending like a cornerback, bro. He was diving at everything and blocking everything because Maguire was pissed.
Yeah.
So hence why I'm like, Ole, dude, if you really want to save yourself as a coach, because you are not justifying leaving, can you think outside the box? Do you have the testicular fortitude to try something different? Okay, to those who didn't understand what I said, do you have the balls to try something different? So that's why. Well, look, I know I'm a reactionary, and I'm proud to be a reactionary. But I just saw a nutmeg in hockey. Ooh.
I think you should. You know, for me, it's not. Look, I think when you're passionate about the squad, you're passionate about that. You have been a Manchester United fan for, you
know, yeah.
And that's okay. Like my thing with them is I for some reason feel like I agree with what Roy Keane said, and Roy Keane said this is the same players that
got yes.
Because they didn't listen yes. to Mourinho. And Mourinho also, to his detriment, decided to play yeah. defense in the 6-yard box.
Yeah, exactly.
We're at the point where we should be far more with the talent in the squad. It's a young
yes.
squad. They probably do need to buy another central defender. I'm sorry, the dude needs to go to Canada.
That's too many. Do you know how much money we are now spending on defenders?
Unfortunately, even, and this was the point we made, even in years gone by when Manchester United had a lot of injuries, they were still competitive.
Right? Yes.
And unfortunately, right now, you're going, yeah, I don't really know. I don't know how this game is going to go. And
how often can
Ronaldo bail them out? So, you know, that's
a 36-year-old Ronaldo.
But something I want to, you know, I did want to touch on at some point is this car crash with this kid Ruggs. But I think we should do that.
Oh man!
Once more comes out, because his blood alcohol level was super high, and I've got to let Timo go because Timo apparently is coaching. You're not coaching today.
No, I'm not coaching, but I need to work a bit now, do my home office stuff. So
yeah. I've got a few questions to ask Timo before I let him go. He was on a podcast before, and so he's named his top 15, and that, you know, the 15 players. we've started a new trend on the Rugby Run Unthought spot where I ask a few random questions, right? And the first is going to be, when you go on tour, who is your worst? Who's the worst roommate you've had?
The worst roommate I had
up until now, hey, and you're still playing. If you're still playing with me, I don't have a room with you anymore.
Well, that's a really good question, because I actually was one of the lucky guys who never had a bad roommate.
What?
I think
never
so.
Had a bad roommate.
No. Like, because always, like, in the national setup, you always get put up with the, like, the same position guys. So
I
went with a lock or, like, a third rower into room. And obviously, because we worked so tight as a group, there was no...
Yeah, there was no, like, this, like...
No, we knew each other from the start, so we knew what we were up to, so...
That was cool. No, I meant worst roommate as in, like, snoring...
Yeah, but I luckily was never with Yaku, so I dodged that bullet. Yeah, yeah.
The poor guy. Okay, who's the best teammate you've ever had up until now, hey? You say me.
I think we never roomed up before.
No, thank God. You would have hated living with me. I'm very particular at night.
I had a few good ones. I remember being with Dash Barber, actually.
Uh-huh.
In the same room. Okay. And he was yeah. taking care of me, always going for a coffee. I would actually go for my other podcast, brilliant counterpart of Sammy Füchse.
You know what, Kevin, you should listen to this podcast and you can learn German. they talk some fun.
Okay.
It's a great podcast. I love their podcast. Especially if you understand the inside jokes, it's even better. Now that I know what they are, okay. So we done worst teammate. We done. What did I do with Seb? Worst teammate. Worst roommate. Best teammate. So you're Dash and Sammy.
Because the best. Know. Our best teammate.
Yeah.
Like
best teammate. So far, you remember you're still playing. So don't. That messes up.
I have to go with Sean Armstrong. Eh? Best teammate, Sean Armstrong.
Good guy. Love him. I need to get him on the podcast, actually, because I'd love to hear his whole story.
This Australian guy, he's been a role model for me, honestly.
Yeah?
Honestly, in pretty much Not every way, but pretty much all the ways.
Now, would you call him old? Because we're the same age.
Is he still playing? No, he's not. Huh? So he's old. No,
I think he's retired
two kids, married. He's old. Not playing.
Yeah, shame. I think like the last time it was when I last saw him, and he was like, yeah, my shoulder. I was like, it's time. Like, it's time. Favorite sport that when you're not watching rugby?
I actually enjoy female volleyball.
Yeah.
Wait.
Because I like if you ever watched volleyball,
there are scantily dressed women. Yes.
I'm not talking about the outfits, but if you see men playing volleyball, it's not really sexy. Brutal. No, it's like really forced stuff. And if you see women volleyball, it's finesse.
You know what it is? It's a bit more artistic. It's like
it's elegant. You know, they do it like in a nice manner. And in the male sport, I enjoy so much. I actually don't like football that much to watch. Because I think it can be boring. And football,
you know what it is? It's that rolling around.
No. But in football is one of the only sports. If you are passive and destructive, you get a reward for that. So if you're just like standing in behind, defending all the time, like really, blocking anything good.
Yes.
You still get 1 point for a draw. You know, there's not a lot of sports who have the same measurement in points.
That's true. I get you. But that's why they call it the beautiful game. It's ugly and it's ugliness that makes it beautiful. No. That's what Pele meant. When he said that, when Pele said it's the beautiful game, he said the fact that, you can have referees costing a game, you can have people fighting, kicking one another, scoring beautiful goals. It adds to that beauty. People cheating. When Suarez cheated against Ghana, there was something beautiful about that because he was willing to go all out for his country.
Was it beautiful when he bit the guy, though?
Yeah, because he was being a savage in a sport that
was the most South African answer. I mean, because he bit the guy, it's fine.
I would put it differently because I think in that moment it's a disgrace, but
yes,
the fact that we talk about it makes it special. You know what I mean?
Yes, because it affects our life. Timo, I wish you'd been on the African continent after Suarez and Asamoah Gyan missed.
I can't handle this.
We could have killed us.
Listen, can I just tell you something? You can have Timo in the African continent. You need to have factor 150 for this motherfucker. Where he walk in the sun, bruh. Yo, he reflects the light sometimes. I'm like, dude!
Sorry about that.
It's just the legs. The upper body's fine.
Yeah. I'm getting sunburned just looking at the picture of the sun. So that's how bad it is.
but...
Oh, yeah.
You got it. So what I think you like.
No, male sport. We came off the topic. Male sport. I enjoy it. I think it's pretty much everything.
Okay, pretty much everything.
I like weightlifting. I like handball, basketball. I enjoy.
Do you watch a lot of basketball?
Not regularly.
I feel like you would have been perfect for this game. I think you really would have been.
Team, I'm telling you, bro. 1.96, that's a god, man. Point god.
Maybe I come second life basketball.
It depends on your system. If you played in the 90s with the Bulls, when Michael Jordan was Michael Jordan, you threw to Kobe Bryant, let's say 2008, 2009, 6'5", 6'6" point guard was the thing. Now they're all 6'3" and they shoot first. You know, they're not pass first. And then you have LeBron, who's just an anomaly. You know, he could pretty much play all five positions and like freak of fucking nature.
But who's the better player? Is it Jordan or James?
Fucking listen. Michael Jordan, I'm sorry.
Feel the same.
Michael,
I think it's the same question if you ask like if it's Ali or Tyson.
Ali.
I think the same. Because
Tyson.
Because they changed the game so much.
No, like, but, you know, because... but you've made me fucking think about Tyson.
That's a valid point, Timo. You said something. They changed.
You said something. They've changed the game so much. But you just
said
because I just feel like with Ali, you never felt he was going to lose ever.
No, right? He did.
And he did lose. He lost fights. He did lose fights. But...
But he was not so dominant, but the way he boxed, it was different to what was coming. Exactly, and that's what made people think, and that's why Tyson had also a different style and he came with different idea of boxing, because he was not a great boxer, but he was so quick and clinical in his movements and so strong, and he was vicious. He had no, he was, if you look in his eyes of this guy, he wanted just to see people dead.
That's
true. You don't have a lot of guys in the profession.
But then I would throw in a name as well.
Do it.
Lennox Lewis.
Oh, yes. That's a good point.
Because Lennox Lewis was Muhammad Ali's height, not his bounce. He didn't have his bounce. He if you take the way Muhammad Ali used, you know, Muhammad Ali was a floater, right? So he'd catch you on a counterattack. You sometimes leave your hand out a little too long and he'd be like, oh, that's your chin. Boom. Cheers. Mm. Whereas Tyson, because he's so short.
I mean, he's
so short, but in stocky, and like he'd get in your face. And if you didn't have a jab, if you left your jab out there and he uppercuts you, yeah, we'll see you at Christmas, you know? Lennox Lewis was, he didn't have the bounce of an Ali, but he had the power of Tyson and he had the height of Ali.
That's a difficult one, because I would say, like, what about the Klitschko brothers? It's the same, you know?
Yeah, it's the same. But you see, the Klitschkos, what was different about the Klitschkos is they would fight you at length, right? They'd fight you at length. So they would stand and deliver because they could do that. Think about what happened towards the end of Vitaly and Anthony Joshua.
Joshua.
Whoa!
Right, once he gets, because once Joshua started figuring it out, he was like, hey, yeah, hang on, wait. If we just do this, if I come into you a bit more and I fight you at your height, you can't handle me. And that's why Joshua struggles with smaller opponents. If you ever think about
it. Yeah, yeah. Of course, that's what I would say. Tyson over
Luis,
because he would go in that small spot where you cannot really fight as a tall guy, but Ali was the game changer, and that's why Ali, I pick him at the beginning.
But then for me it was, if you watched, because you could really compare Tyson and Lennox Lewis, watch their fight again, right? Because
it was comfortable for Lennox.
Fuck up.
No, Lennox Lewis was so comfortable that day. I don't remember Tyson landing anything.
Bro, the scary part about that is he hit him. He hit Tyson, and Tyson just fell on him. It was like, I gotta let you go now. But it was like, but also what you said, like Tyson was like, I'm gonna eat your kids.
Yeah.
Like you said that out loud. I'm gonna eat your kids.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm coming for you. I'm gonna eat your bruh. Nah, man. Nah, that's not cool. That's not okay. But yeah, and you know what? I like these. I like these new guys. I like watching the Gypsy King, Tyson.
Yeah,
I like him. I'm interested to see what happens when Joshua goes against the Russian guy. I've forgotten his name now. Ushik or something.
Ushik, yeah, something.
So when that fight happens again, how that's gonna go down?
I actually like when you ask a guy, Ushik, how do you feel? I feel.
Do you feel?
How are you doing?
You know, and also major respect, like dude took back the belts. Obviously, he gets fresh new ones. But I thought that was there's a nice respect between the two of them. I just think that, what's his name? Dude who got knocked the hell out again the other night. Deontay Wilder.
Yes.
I just feel like Deontay Wilder. Deontay Wilder is a fighter, not a boxer.
Mm. Yeah.
Right.
Brawler.
So he's gonna swing and hope for the best. Whereas, okay, we could argue that that for some of those 10 counts that Fury was given a few seconds here or there. But okay, whatever. But Fury's schooled in this game, hey, from bare knuckle as a kid all the way up to, you know, he's also really imposing. He's just a little taller than you. He's 6'6", really big guy. His head for boxing is his experience.
Unbelievable, yes. You know,
the way he moves. And that's why I'm more interested to see how Fury is going to go against Joshua, because they're both technical specialists. Joshua's he's a technique guy. He's got a total man crush on the guy, body wise. Because if I had a body like that,
like who?
Like Joshua. Joshua.
Yeah, yep.
That guy is a specimen.
Bro, he's a specimen, eh? Yes. Okay.
And then when you look at somebody like Fury, it's like, dude, are you sure you're a boxer? Yeah, until he fights, and you're like, yeah.
Do you know how much weight he lost?
I know. Yeah. That's what I'm like, yeah.
But he lost a shitload of weight.
But just imagine, like, if you were to go for a game plan, you know, you should, like, as Joshua, with his physique, you just need to out-tire Fury. You know, that's a marathon. That's not a sprint. Right. And exactly. I think Tyson would go for the sprint.
Right.
Because that's all he has.
And that was the thing with Lewis. Lewis went for the marathon, not the sprint.
Yeah.
And if you gave, you know, and I think that's going to be, for me, that's going to be the, because I really think Joshua is going to beat Usyk the second time. I do, that's my belief. You know, we'll see what happens early next year.
Yeah, but it's the same with that Ruiz guy. When Joshua boxed Ruiz, and there was a surprise knockout, I think.
Because you know, that was just so weird, that fight.
Yeah, but you know, but when you're unconventional and you box like a very technical guy, it's the same with the rugby thing, and I think it concerns with a lot of sports. Mm. If you are a really structured, detailed team or if you set up and you put the work in to have that structure and that mentality, and all of a sudden say against a freestyle team, you struggle because your system does not really work against a freestyle team. You know what I mean? It's sometimes you have that, especially with a low club level we have here. If you want to set up a defense system and all of a sudden like your opponent plays freestyle, your system goes to, you know,
where you have clubs who In our league, there's a club who plays. They don't go to ground, so they try and take the ball out of contact, and they don't go to ground. And I'm saying to my guys, you need to put them on the floor, because for them, if you slow the game down, that's how they get beaten. If you play too quickly, and get sucked into their style of play. So I love what you're saying. People do with New Zealand, they get sucked into the system. Somehow South Africa is just like. No, we're sticking to what we have. That's it. We're so belligerent about it. And it's so true. Like you see it in a lot of different sports. The issue with the New England Patriots right now, and in my honest belief, is they're still playing too slowly. And the other night they played a little quicker, just two clicks quicker, and they won because they played a little faster. Okay, they got a pick six, fine.
But what's with that Mahomes guy? Is it where does he play?
Kansas City.
Yes, and you see, because he's unconventional, he throws those no look passes where he's not looking at his target, throwing the ball, and he connects that passes. You know, the defense struggles because they're not used to that, and that's.
But you see, now they're struggling. Eh? They're in a struggle now.
Of course, but like last year was last season.
Talent-wise.
Because there was something new coming up, and all of a sudden you need to adapt to that, and all of a sudden you have an advantage as the unconventional guy. Right. And that you need to adapt, and that's also with the boxing stuff. If as soon as you float, like Ali, you need to adapt to that. As soon as you're like short and stumpy, you need to adapt to that.
It's the same. It was the same in the Super Bowl. I think Kevin and I we did an episode on the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
they just couldn't stop the kid. The Buccaneers defense is amazing, but he gets out of shit. He's just a fucking magician. He just gets out of it. So. Man, it was man alive. But you know what, guys? I have to love and leave you, and I've really, really loved doing this show with you, dude. So I think Timo should come on once a month. This is my
Yeah, I think so too.
Pay me then, huh?
You know what? You know what? Go and speak to your friends at the DRV. Are you getting match fees?
Yeah.
Because I need to know.
Of course I don't get match fees. You're all amateurs.
All amateurs. I was surprised when you said you guys flew the other day. I was like, wait, they flew.
Yeah, because they got the Sonderumlage now. Now you're rich, bro.
Okay. You know what? I'm not gonna go there.
No, but that's what that was the Sonderumlage was for. Like was they it? Need to finance. Yeah, they need to finance the national side. Like because the 15th side or the 15th apartment was not able to finance themselves, and that's why they arranged the Sonderumlage. And now we have that Sonderumlage, we can fly, and we have a decent trip.
Well, that's good. And also, it was a good weekend. I mean, the Sevens women were out, the Sevens men's were out, the development was out. There's a lot, you know, the under 20s look good. There's a lot going on, and there's a lot of good rugby, and there's, you know, and all power. Let's hope it's sustainable and it lasts.
Exactly.
Because, you know, the worst thing for any national team's situation is to lose and bleed players. So,
yeah,
I love this. Thank you so much, boys. I've appreciated you joining us on the pod. And Kevin, you're gonna have to brush up on your German rugby now, because it's gonna be.
Before I let you go, Timo, I remember you now, because what happened was there was a channel I used to work for called Kwesi Sports out here in South Africa. They used to cover African rugby, the Africa Gold and Silver Cup. So we tried. Yeah, and then it was South Africa. It was always it was that season, Kenya and Namibia got to the final. So because they made the final, they made repechage. And then I watched you guys in Hong Kong, that three-way series. But then I was hoping that Kenya made it. Yes, it was in Hong Kong, man.
No, it was in Marseille.
No, sorry, I don't know why I'm mixing
they
Hong Kong.
They played against Hong Kong, but.
Oh, yes. I remember. That's how I'm like, man, why am I familiar with you?
You know how awkward it was for me? Because I was like, my teammates are playing, but I also would love it if Wakanda went there. And
yes,
and then my teammates were playing against Wakanda. I was like, yeah, sorry, Wakanda.
I never lost against Kenya. We went there to Nairobi, won like last minute penalty with Chris Hilsenberg. Yes. It over last minute. And the Hong Kong game or the repechage game when we played Kenya in the last one was quite comfortable, like 46 something.
It was a great game.
It was a brilliant tournament.
I mean, it was raining, and if you know, it was a great game to watch. And
yeah,
man,
it was fun to play. It was good game time.
Yeah, that's I'm like okay. That's why I'm no. I told William I'm invested. I'm interested in what's happening in Germany because A, I know a schoolmate. I remember watching Dash Bauer making his debut for. I don't know if it was against Spain or something. And I was like, I was so excited about this. And then ironically, a few years later, two teams we were covering end up playing Germany in the repechage. On top of the fact that Vuyozanga helped take Germany into the world leg of the Sevens. I was like, something is happening.
Yeah, it's happening. It'll come together.
Surely.
Thanks for joining the recording, boys.
Thank you for listening to that episode of the Rugby Ground and Fault with the 10-12 Sports Around podcast. Hope you enjoy the wee slip of boxing in there. It's quite interesting, the interesting takes. Interesting points of view, and I love that. I love just, you know, chatting like that. I think it's great introducing new topics on the fly. Had so much fun having Timo on again. We'll look to get more national team players on for the regular round of the pod, of course. And they're playing pretty well. 2 from 2 in the last couple of weeks, or, you know, the last couple of games, and they're playing pretty well. And it's amazing to see a young team hold together with some experience around them, which is awesome. Stay tuned to who's coming next. Got some people lined up. Getting everybody to sit down is always difficult, but we'll make it work. If you like what we do, again, please have a look at our GoFundMe page and what we're trying to do. So we can, you know, like I said earlier, have a quality product to get out to you all, and I'm also exploring doing more feeds and creating more feeds, especially for the theatre podcasts and you know, perhaps theatre sports and a few other things going on around, maybe some pop culture. Expand, and there's a whole plan, so if you, every little bit helps us achieve that goal and that dream, if you really enjoy listening to us. Yeah, take care of yourselves, like I say, especially, you know, if you're living in Europe, as it gets colder, dress properly, look after yourselves, immunize yourself as much as you can against whatever. It doesn't matter whether it's COVID or anything else, just look after yourselves. And take care, and we will catch you really soon.
Fence, and that says a lot. Here comes McCready. Oh, he just sucked the gravity right out of the building. What a play by T-Man.
How about the passion? Look at the animation on Tracy McGrady. Normally sleepy-eyed, very smooth. You don't see this kind of energy and passion. David Aldridge talked about it's playoff time. Look at the extension. Sean Bradley.
The crowd is oohing and aahing, well, as we just did ourselves.
Well, let me give you a little quote that Jeff Van Gundy gave me today. He said, you know, I talked to Tracy McGrady about being a guy who can unite his team with his passing and inspire him with the great plays and passion. That was inspirational. That was an inspirational move.
Jiglek, Paul Hart, one and number. Sahab, one and one. With Sahab, the Nepo, Ganakam, Amatua, Kali, Lavatini. Jiglek, he cooked the cheese of Neymar, spicy plum, Yankees. My time for London, one and one. Kaji! Oh, Ganakam, Ganakam.
Police, what comes up? Papa Mandu, Yalangalangu Chaki, see him Tanda Colas!
That's above. Spicy Blanc, shot up Chester Grill, the tenant, wow, but Chester Grill! Oh, can I come? I'm not sure I'm coming up a team! Squire, Nyangasak Leonard Brown, a Punguka. Nipple, not saying it up, you can't get it.